Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is Friday. It's May the 27th. My name is Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We are spending a little time in God's Word, allowing God's Word to spend some time on us, and oh, how we need it. Today is day 148 in our journey through the Scripture. And check this out. It is also episode 944 in our journey through the Word. 944 days we have been coming to this desk or another desk just like it and reading the Word of God together. And God has grown this little audience from a small group of 10 or 12 people that used to meet together each day to over 10,000 people who have downloaded the app. And each day we gather together to hear from Him. Today's reading is in the book of Proverbs, chapters 7 through 9. And then we move on to the book of Romans, chapter 9. We're reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in. Proverbs, chapter 7. Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Love wisdom like a sister. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Let them protect you from an affair with an immoral woman, from listening to the flattery of a promiscuous woman. While I was at the window of my house looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young man, and one in particular who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. It was at twilight in the evening as deep darkness fell. The woman approached him, seductively dressed, sly of heart. She was the brash, rebellious type, never content to stay at home. She is often in the streets and markets, soliciting at every corner. She threw her arms around him and kissed him, and with a brazen look she said, "I've made my peace offerings and fulfilled my vows. You're the one I was looking for. I came out for you, and here you are. My bed is spread with beautiful blankets, with colored sheets of Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink our fill of love until morning. Let's enjoy each other's caresses, for my husband is not at home." He's away on a long trip. He has taken a wallet full of money with him and won't return until later this month. So she seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. He followed her at once, like an oxen going to the slaughter. He was like a stag caught in a trap, awaiting the arrow that would pierce his heart. He was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. So listen to me, my sons, and pay attention to my words. Don't let your hearts stray away toward her. Don't wander down her wayward path, for she has been the ruin of many, many men. And they have been her victims. Her house is the road to the grave. Her bedroom is the den of death. Proverbs chapter 8. Listen as wisdom calls out. Here is understanding raises her voice on the hilltops along the road. She takes her stand at the crossroads, by the gates at the entrance to the town. On the road leading in, she cries aloud, "I call to you, to all of you. I raise my voice to all people. You simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show some understanding. Listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right, for I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome. There is nothing devious or crooked in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Choose my instructions rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Common sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. Because of me, kings reign, and rulers make just decrees. Rulers lead with my help, and nobles make righteous judgments. I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. I have riches and honor, as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, even purest gold. My wages better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness, in paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth. I will fill their treasuries. The Lord formed me from the beginning. Before he created anything else, I was appointed in ages past. At the very first, before the earth began, I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled forth their waters, before the mountains were formed, before the hills I was born. Before he had made the earth and fields and the first handfuls of soil, I was there when he established the heavens, when he drew the horizons on the oceans. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established springs deep in the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the sea so they would not spread beyond their boundaries. And when he marked off the earth's foundations, I was the architect at his side. I was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence. And how happy I was with the world he created, how I rejoiced with the human family. And so, my children, listen to me, for all who follow my ways are joyful. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Don't ignore it. Joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. And those who miss me injure themselves. All who hate me love death. Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved its seven columns. She has prepared a great banquet, mixed with wines, and set the table. She has sent her servants to invite everyone to come. She calls out from the heights, overlooking the city. Come in with me, she urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways behind and begin to live. Learn to use good judgment. Anyone who rebukes a mocker will get an insult in return. Anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt. So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. The woman named Folly is brash. She is ignorant and doesn't know it. She sits in her doorway on the heights, overlooking the city. She calls out to men going by who are minding their own business. Come in with me, she urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, stolen water is refreshing. Food eaten in secret tastes the best. But little do they know that the dead are there. Her guests are in the depths of the grave. Romans chapter 9. With Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My spirit is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. They are the people of Israel, chosen to be God's adopted children. God revealed his glory to them. He made covenants with them and gave them his law. He gave them the privilege of worshiping him and receiving his wonderful promises. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are their ancestors, and Christ himself was an Israelite as far as his human nature is concerned, and he is God, the one who rules over everything and is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Well then, has God failed to fulfill his promise to Israel? No. For not all who are born into the nation of Israel are truly members of God's people. Being descendants of Abraham doesn't make them truly Abraham's children. For the scriptures say, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Though Abraham had other children too, this means that Abraham's physical descendants are not necessarily children of God. Only the children of the promise are considered to be Abraham's children. For God had promised, I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. This son was our ancestor Isaac. When he married Rebekah, he gave birth to twins. But before they were born, before they had done anything good or bad, she received a message from God. This message shows that God chooses people according to his own purposes. He calls people, but not according to their own good or bad works. She was told, your older son will serve your younger son. In the words of the scriptures, I loved Jacob, but I rejected Esau. Are we saying then that God was unfair? Of course not. For God said to Moses, I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. So it is God who decides to show mercy. We can neither choose it nor work for it. For the scriptures say that God told Pharaoh, I have appointed you for the very purpose of displaying my power in you and to spread my fame throughout the earth. So you see, God chooses to show mercy to some, and he chooses to harden the hearts of others, so they refuse to listen to him. Well, then you might say, why does God blame people for not responding? Haven't they simply done what he made them to do? No, don't say that. Who are you, a mere human being, to argue with God? Should the thing that was created say to the one who created it, why have you made me like this? When a potter makes a jar out of clay, doesn't he have the right to use the same lump of clay to make one jar for decoration and another to throw into the garbage? In the same way, even though God has the right to show his anger and his power, he is very patient with those on whom his anger falls, who are destined for destruction. He does this to make the riches of his glory shine even brighter on those to whom he shows mercy, who were prepared in advance for glory. And we are among those he selected, both from the Jews and from the Gentiles. Concerning the Gentiles, God says in the prophecy of Hosea, those who were not my people, I will now call my people, and I will love those whom I did not love before. And then at the place where they were told, you are not my people, they will be called children of the living God. And concerning Israel, Isaiah the prophet cried out, though the people of Israel are as numerous as the sand of the seashore, only a remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth quickly and with finality. And Isaiah said the same thing in another place. If the Lord of heaven's armies had not spared a few of our children, we would have been wiped out like Sodom, destroyed like Gomorrah. What does all this mean? Even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standards, they were made right with God, and it was by faith that this took place. But the people of Israel, who tried so hard to get right with God by keeping the law, never succeeded. Why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law, instead of by trusting in him. They stumbled over the great rock in their path. God warned them of this in the scriptures when he said, I am placing a stone in Jerusalem that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall, but anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. May God add his blessing to this, the reading of his word. Amen. What a sobering chapter this is, Romans chapter 9. So many of us, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, we happily go along in our life, relying on our own performance, relying on our own religious and national pedigree. I'm a Baptist, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Pentecostal, my parents were pastors. You know, we can rely upon our own religious pedigree or on our own religious performance and think that this is what makes us right with God. The good things I've done in life have outweighed the bad things. I've reached the magical 51%. The scales will tip on my side and I'll be okay. But God, in his great mercy and in his sovereign care, has placed a stone in our path. He says, I've placed a stone in Jerusalem that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall. And that rock is Christ. The stone is Christ. And we're falling over ourselves here and him because it's not my performance, it's not my pedigree that makes me right with God, it's Christ, the rock. God shows up and says, nuh-uh, I'm here. It's only by faith in my righteousness, it's only by my performance, it's only by my pedigree, the Son of God, the truly righteous one, the one who alone has fulfilled all the requirements of the law, who alone has performed up to par and beyond. He's the stone that makes us stumble. And when we hit that stone and we stand up and we recognize that we were blind all along, that we were slaves all along, thinking that somehow my performance, my pedigree would somehow be enough to warrant God's approval, blinded to my own sin, to my culpability, and my great offense towards God. Now, God has graciously placed a rock in my path. And now when I stand up, brushing the dirt off of my pants, I look up and I see what a fool I've been. My heart is desperately wicked, beyond recovery. I cannot do it myself. I need a heart transplant. I need Him. I need all the righteousness that is there embodied in the rock, in the stone. I need His beloved standing before the Father as the Son. Christian, that's what we're invited to receive today. Have you fallen into the rock? Have you run headfirst into it? I hope so. I hope so, because that's the beginning of an amazing journey. That's the beginning of life. Buddy Miller has a wonderful song called Fall on the Rock. He's got a line in that song that says, "You better fall on the rock, or the rock's gonna fall on you." Paul says something very similar. He says, anyone who falls on that rock, anyone who trusts in Him, will never be disgraced. So that's the prayer of my own heart today, my friends, that I will fall on the rock, that I will look to Him who is my righteousness and my life, that I will thank Him that He has disavowed me of any pretense that somehow I was doing enough, or that I would be enough in and of myself apart from Him. Thank you for placing yourself smack dab in my ignorant path. Thank you that you've allowed me to fall on this gracious and kind rock. My prayer is that I will fall on the rock today. That's my prayer for my family, for my daughters. That's my prayer for you. Let's fall on Him. DailyRadioBible.com is our home on the internet. Always glad to have you stop on by. Always glad to hear from you. Hey, I've got a little thing going on here the last 2 days. Let's make it a third day. It is the I've Shared It campaign. I'm asking listeners of the Daily Radio Bible to share the app. We've made it real simple. You can go to the app itself and click on the icon that says Share the app, click on there, and pass it on to your friends. And then here's the thing I want you to do. I want you to send me a message with the words, I shared it, on it. That's all. You can add more if you want to, but if you just send me a note that says, I shared it, I would love that. So consider sharing the app today with someone that you know. There's lots of people out there who are hungry for the Word of God, and there's this community here where they can join and be a part of and experience God's Word each day. Experience the gracious love of the rock each day. With that in mind, I want to send a big shout out to some folks that have been sharing lately, to Judy Bailey, to Mike McClatcher, to Victory and Blessing, to, what great names, by the way, Victory and Blessing, to Kim, to Robin Ritchie, to Anna Ribeiro. Thanks so much for sharing this ministry with people in your world. May God bless you for it. And to all of you out there for being a part of this ministry, thank you so much. It's such an honor for me to be on this journey with you, to share this time, this important time in our lives together around His Word. And of course, if you'd like to partner with the Daily Radio Bible, that is so appreciated. This ministry does not happen without you. So you can do that very simply by going to dailyradiobible.com. Clicking on the partner link. You can also do the same right from the app itself. Or if you're old school like me, you can mail it to Daily Radio Bible, 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45239. Well, there you've had it, my friends. We've done it again. We've spent another day in the Bible. I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Oh, and by the way, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a link into our webpage on this blog post a link to Buddy Miller's song entitled Fall on the Rock. I think you'll enjoy it. It's an amazing piece of American music by a real master in that genre. So check it out. Buddy Miller, Fall on the Rock. Speaking of checking things out, make sure you check out tomorrow's podcast, Lord Willing and the Creek Don't Rise. I fully intend to be here doing the same. Until that time, my friends, you go forward in God's joy. You allow His joy to be your strength. I'll talk to you later.